1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger, who is entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, joins us in a few minutes to talk about the film Brokeback Mountain. Is there a gay recruitment agenda in that film? And we'll be talking with him. As you know, the Academy Awards nominations have been announced, and I don't know if that's anything that you're interested in, but at least this one flick we'll talk about because it's, you know, a lot of people are talking about it. I've got some email I want to read. We also have a classic flashback coming up for you, a by request flashback at phs@philhendryshow.com. And you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show tonight, and we are live, and, you know, every now and again, we've got to stay late for that TV show we're doing, Teachers, April 6th, baby, 9:30, right after My Name is Earl on NBC, and we'll see whether or not we can squeeze six more episodes out of NBC, maybe three, maybe not, who knows? You know, you do your six, and then, well, how'd the audience, well, they kind of like, well, okay. See, they kept The Office on the air, and the American version of The Office, I don't care how many people watch it, it ain't as good as the British one. Now, why are they keeping that on the air? Oh, because it's really funny? If you think that show's funny, you ain't seen that Ricky Gervais one. How do you pronounce his name? Ricky Gerbil? You ain't seen that one, baby. If you think The American Office is funny, and it probably is, I ain't seen it. Why? I work at night, thank you. Ever heard of TiVo, Phil? Yeah, but I can't get DirecTV to install it. How come, Phil? Because apparently the people that the DirecTV hires to install things ain't too, how do I say this respectfully, swift. I ain't kidding you. You guys at DirecTV, I love your product, but the people that you hire to install, what seems to be the major malfunction? I have called for 6 solid weeks. 6 weeks! And here's what I get. Oh, did you already order it? Yeah, I ordered it. Well, we have to unorder it in order for you to order it. And I'm never going to have your service, am I? Probably not. Could you give me the number to Dish Network? Yes, sir, I've got it right here. I told my wife, see, because my wife, she doesn't care about the NFL package. I said, why don't you get Dish Network? She said, really? What is that? I said, it's the same thing, except the reason why we all get DirecTV, there's only one reason alone, because they got that NFL package. And I guess they got some sports stuff you can't get on the Dish Network. I don't know. There's only one sports package that I want, and that's the NFL package. If I didn't want it, I would probably go for Dish Network because it sounds to me like they got their, you know, they got their ducks lined up a little bit better, man. You know, they can find their rear end with both hands. But DirecTV, I've never been through anything like this before in my life. Like I said, it's a great product. And the first time I called, when I got that chick in Sri Lanka, I should have known better then.
You got a dothead?
I don't know if she was a dothead, man, but I got somebody on the line. And she's telling me all these marvelous things. It sounded like it was going pretty good. And then the guy comes out to install. No, he ain't got it. Anyway, I say all of that to say what? To say something. That we've got ourselves a wonderful show planned for you tonight. And, oh yeah, we're going to be on there 9:30 Thursday night. Teachers, right after My Name is Earl. So check it out. We got a great cast, very funny people. And we did some with this episode that we're rehearsing this week that we're going to film on Tuesday night. I don't want to let any cats out of the bag, per se. I don't want to let any cats out of the bag, especially as we're about to tie off the bag and throw them into a river. But I don't want to let a cat out of the bag. Think about that. That saying comes from the times when people used to put cats into bags and throw them into the river to see if they'd flow. Wasn't that about witches or something? Anyway, I simply want to say this is going to be a good one, baby. All of them are going to be fantastic. Plus, I have some extra special scenes with Sarah Shahi. You heard me right. All right, 1-800-449-8686, some email to read. Hey, Phil, I noticed that you usually use your characters to poke fun at some views or attitudes that you dislike. But I wonder, do you ever use your characters to air out an opinion of your own, but one that's a little too warped to say in your normal voice? If so, which characters tend to serve this function most often? Talk radio blows. Hail, Phil, Pete. I don't understand your email. Here's one from Joe Plant in Monson, Massachusetts. I drive a tractor trailer through eastern New York, Vermont, and western Massachusetts 5 nights per week delivering bread. I need to be careful while driving when I'm listening to you. A few times I take a sip of coffee just as you catch me off guard with your wild comedy, sometimes almost choking on, well, I can't say the word. No, I'm kidding. Raisin bread with coffee coming out of my nose. You get me laughing so hard. Thanks, Joe. This one from Richard Salace. Hello, I'm a Phoenix, Arizona listener, and I was wondering how the, quote, see Phil Hendry name on my roof standing offer works. He says, I was writing this email because my wife doesn't see why I should spend the baby's milk and diaper money on paint and stencils. Well, if you just put up on your roof the name Phil Hendry, and it can be seen from the satellite in space that takes those pictures for Google Maps, 10 G's. It's as simple as that. 10 G's if I can see my name from outer space. Why wouldn't I offer 10 G's for that? Why wouldn't I? Because who's going to see it other than a Martian or an astronaut? What am I saying? Guys, going to be up there.
Roger, Hendry sign. I don't know what the hell.
All right, that's great. Here's one here from Mike. I love how your characters, just before you hang up on them, start talking real fast like they know it's coming and want to get in one more point. It's the little things, Mike. And this one from Jim Breed in Overland, Kansas. He writes, I had just left the hospital where my dad had prostate surgery. He had diabetes and other complications and wasn't expected to make it. I felt like crap. Well, I was listening to your show on the internet. I got a little bit tired. I plugged in my iPod, and man, I'll tell you, I laughed, and I felt so much better. Unfortunately, the next day my dad died. However, still laughing, Jim Breed, Overland Park, Kansas. P.S. Spending a year in Newport, Rhode Island really blows. Thanks so much for your email, guys. And all you have to do is send it to me at phs@philhendryshow.com. And if you'd like to request a flashback, you do that as well at that address. We've got one coming up. And don't forget the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, which is Are You For Real, the 2005 CD. Pick it up at www.philhendryshow.com. And we're trying to make this as easy as we possibly can so we can raise money for our friends at My Friend's Place, which benefits from the sale of the CD, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And by the way, I got an email from a lady. You know, these people in Hollywood, I say these people in Hollywood, let me just preface it by saying this. You know, everybody wants to do something about society's problems, but the minute anybody tries to do something about society's problems, we got another do-gooder coming along who's ready to undo the good that you want to do because they think they're doing good. I'll give you an example. I got an email from a woman, and she says to me, I'm sure you don't understand exactly what's going on. The streets of Hollywood are filled with children on drugs and this and that, right? And she's one of these people who lives in Hollywood. And, you know, she's trying to get me to believe that the street people in Hollywood, the situation is somehow being made worse by these agencies that try to help these kids. And all of the problems she's having in her little turd of a neighborhood where maybe she's seeing some gangbangers hanging around. Hey, I don't know from your problems there in Beechwood Canyon. If you got gangbangers hanging around your little freaking drugstore up there or something, call a cop. The people that I support are trying to get rid of that problem by turning these kids' lives around and getting them back straightened out and getting them back into life, you know? Don't write me your emails and expect me to be sympathetic. In fact, I wrote her an email back and I said, I hope they sue you for slandering, because she was writing a lot of bad stuff. And I said, look, I hope someday My Friend's Place files a major slander lawsuit against you. She writes back, she says, I can't believe that Phil would write such a letter. I think someone wrote it on his behalf. And I wrote back and I said, you're right, I did, Bud Dickman.
No wonder I get our dirty calls.
Oh, quit crying. All right, now right now, if you'd like to help the guys at My Friend's Place, 1-877-616-PHIL. 1-877-616-PHIL. Call up, order the CD that way, see? You don't have to have an internet. You don't have to have a computer. You don't have to even know what a computer is. You don't even, well, you should know what a phone is, but you don't have to have a cell phone. You can go to a pay phone if there are any. We're making it as easy as you possibly can have it made for you by simply giving you this number to call to order our CD, 877-616-PHIL. Coming up next, our flashback by request.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. It's a talk show, sure. Yeah, we're a talk show, you know, like, I don't know, like Doug Danger's straight. We're a talk show like Heath Ledger's straight. Anyway, we have for you the reason why I say all of this is I think we're the only talk show in the history of the world that plays requests of material that we've already done. And here is one that is off requested. It's, I guess you could say it's in our A rotation, baby. It's called the Belt Sander Bit, and it's a request from Mike. and says, "Hey, Phil, I'd love to hear the bit with Jay Santos getting threatened to, quote, have his skull sexed by Lloyd, end quote, and another caller for putting a belt sander on vehicles. God, it was funny." This was during the whole D.C. sniper case where they thought maybe the van being driven by the D.C. sniper had been recently painted. So Jay was back in Washington, D.C., putting belt sanders on people's cars to see if they'd been recently painted. And let's listen to it now. It's a classic from our Best of 2003 CD. It's the belt sander bit.
I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what. I drive a van. I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem, and you're going to have it.
Sir,
searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. I'm going to tell you something. My secondary in the military was as an MP. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun. You're a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about, mental imbalance?
You know our Vietnam vet, sir, came back a little cracked, messed up in the head.
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
That's
up in the head.
Yeah,
now.
That is absolutely unfair. 99.9% of our Vietnam vet...
Come on, Phil, you know the stories, you've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up to one of your flare drops,
okay,
you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested. And if you try and search my vehicle, then you're really going to be arrested and you're going to be sued because it's a violation of my civil rights.
Mike,
I don't even have to let a cop search my van.
Hold on, Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella. And as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would, oh boy, you don't even, and I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir.
And well, you gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir.
I mean, that's how strong...
See what I'm talking about, and this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No.
What?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a second, okay?
You see, I was called a faggot. And this all got,
well, you are a faggot.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about...
Yes, that's right. We'd sodomize a man.
Not me. I'd pound you into the ground if you touch my vehicle, and I can do it.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Hey. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
What I'm telling you is that if you ever touch my vehicle without my consent or search my vehicle without my consent, one, I'd show you how tough you are, and two, you'd be the one in jail. How's that grab you?
I couldn't...
Well, sir, I don't think that's going to happen because...
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll back him up, too. I'll come along. You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete. And you want to see it?
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me.
Well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Subcommander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy pith helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I beg pardon? I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be a certified police officer.
I you in the rear end. That's what I do.
No, you want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning the that have the cars that get to ride in the
what
cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And be in a car with
real cops that know that they're not allowed to search my car without my permission, without probable cause.
Why did you answer the man's question?
I don't think. There's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. I can make my own hours this way.
You go out play policeman, right?
Sir, I play policeman.
Kids play cops and robbers. That's what you're doing.
You know what I do with you? And let me tell you what I do. I wouldn't stop for you. I'd keep right on driving, and I'd flatten a couple of you dirty.
Okay.
Well, I mean it. I heard this guy. I thought I was going to come out of my shorts.
Sir, all we're trying to do is save lives.
Saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family.
All right. I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil, if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
Mike, you going to give me your address?
Sure, I'll give you my address. I live in Fort Mitchell, Alabama. Come on down.
That's right. I live in Alhambra, California, okay? After you get your ass kicked
You live in California?
Yes, sir.
That explains a lot of what you're saying.
I beg you, what's that supposed to mean, sir?
Hmm?
I think he means you're kind of a gay boy.
I'm a gay boy? Let me tell you.
We lost the connection.
We lost the connection.
I want to give him my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Kick Street.
Mr. Bohannon?
I'm Phil Hendry, sir.
Mr.
This is not the Jim Bohannon show?
No, sir.
Yeah. Well, then I've got the wrong program.
You know what kills me about listening to that flashback after all these years? The guy says Mr. Bohannon, and you realize that in the way radio is rated and the way that we determine listenership, do you realize that Jim Bohannon might have gotten credit for that, for listenership because somebody thought they were listening to the Jim Bohannon show? They thought it was the funniest thing they ever heard, and they think Jim Bohannon's a comic. See, that? I bet you that happens a lot. I bet you this show gets misidentified a lot, and as a result, we don't get half the listening credit that we ought to. Just one more example of skull sexing. Only I'm the recipient. Now, I wanted to mention, because we were just looking at the news during the flashback about this poor guy that got hurt in Iraq, the reporter for, was it ABC? Nobody really remembers. I mean, it wasn't that long ago in my memory, but it's been 26 years. It was 1979 when a guy by the name of Bill Stewart. Now, this reporter for ABC News, this poor gentleman who was hurt in the attack, the insurgent attack, I don't know his name, Bob Woodruff. People are obviously doing an awful lot of coverage of that, and what does it represent? Well, what it represents is there's a guy who's a reporter, he's in the middle of a war zone, and you're going to get hurt. It happens. But you should have been there, man, the day that ABC News flashed the video, and it was actual film coverage, because in those days they didn't have they had mini cams, but they didn't use them all the time. Sometimes they used film, sometimes they used video. And I know a lot of you may not know really what's the difference. You'd know the difference looking at it. Bill Stewart was a reporter for ABC News. I'll never forget it. And suddenly there's a camera from the news van, and you're looking at Bill Stewart being told to lay on the ground by these Nicaraguan soldiers. The guy turns away, talks to another soldier for a minute, turns back, point blank, shoots Bill Stewart in the head and his cameraman right on television in 1979. And this was during the Nicaraguan insurgency that would, eventually they kicked this scumbag they had run. I forget the name of the guy, Somoza. And then, of course, they put in the Sandinistas. And I don't know what's gone on in Nicaragua since then. It's a toilet down there, man. Except Costa Rica's got really nice places to rent for the surf. Look it up, man. It's in Wikipedia there. Bill Stewart. Although Wikipedia, some of you might change it to, you know, maybe they changed his name to Alfred E. Newman. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
A little bit of news to report. We're going to be, for our friends and listeners in Los Angeles, doing 3 hours with the guys on Extra Sports 570 Sunday, noon to 3. Sunday, noon to 3, I'll be visiting with Steve Hartman, Vic the Brick, and the rest of the guys on a Super Bowl pregame. That'll be noon to 3 on Super Bowl Sunday. Our friends in Wichita, we're going to be doing a one-man show and signing in Wichita sometime in late April, early May. And we'll give you the exact date there in Wichita, Kansas. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. Coming up, Doug Danger in a few minutes to talk about the film Brokeback Mountain and allegedly, what he sees as some kind of a Hollywood agenda. And Doug is a very, very vocal member of the gay community. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd, go ahead.
Yeah, I...
Go ahead.
Tyler.
Okay, is the gentleman there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what did you have to say, sir? You're on the air.
I'm holding the call to talk to Phil Hendry, please.
You're on the air with me right now.
Phil?
Yeah.
This is Lloyd Bonafide, Phil, in Alhambra, California. I'm calling because I heard you mention this movie, Brokeback Mountain, I should say, which I did see, and I am very bitterly disappointed because I had taken my grandson to see it.
Did you know what it was about?
No, sir, I did not. I thought the film was a film, a Western film, that I had been led to believe it was obviously a movie that could be with parental supervision, you know.
You took your grandson, huh?
Yes, sir.
How old is he?
My grandson just turned 10.
All right. Were you not aware of the content of this?
Well, I was told the film was about, the friendship of a couple of cowboys and so on. I took my grandson. I knew it was R-rated, but they tell you you're allowed to bring a child in under 18 if you're with a parental supervision.
Right.
We go into this film, and I knew, right away, I'm watching the movie, and then we saw this these two men. And, boy, I'll tell you, I'm very bitterly disappointed in the Hollywood community they do that.
Well, the movie is a very unusual. It's funny that you didn't hear any of the.
Well, you keep saying that. What are you alluding to?
The press about it. It was about two gay cowboys.
No, sir, I did not, and I can assure you, had I known that this film was about the homosexual, somehow the homosexuality in a ranch setting, I would never have taken my grandson, but that they would take homosexuality and place it in a ranch style, or make it ranch style homosexuality, became a portion. And I wrote a letter to the studio, if you don't mind.
All right.
I wrote this to some Japanese. I don't know who the gentleman is, and I said, "Sir, the ranch style homosexuality that I saw." And then he came back and said to me, "I forwarded your letter to Good Seasons, which is the maker of a salad dressing." And I called my attorney. And
if you could just tell me, what is it? I don't understand.
This is my understanding, the agent that owns the studio that made this movie about ranch-style homosexuality, when I wrote him and told him that I had taken my grandson in to see this without knowing the content, he forwarded my letter to Good Seasons, which is a company that makes salad dressing. And at that time...
Why did he do that?
Say that?
Why did he do that? Why would he forward... I don't understand.
I didn't understand either. And I have called and...
Will you get on the line Harvey Weierman, bud? Hmm? Harvey Weierman, the attorney.
I'm sorry, Mr...
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to get our attorney. We've got a legal consultant.
Because I told my wife that I... And it's been a long time since I was in Korea, but an Asian writes me a letter telling me that he took my letter and sent it on to a guy that makes blue cheese dressing.
All right, hold on. Harvey.
Yeah, Phil.
I have on the line a Mr. Bonafide.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hello.
He wrote a letter to the studio that made Brokeback Mountain, the very famous film about the two gay cowboys, and he had it forwarded by the studio to Good Seasons, the salad dressing manufacturer.
Yes, I'm familiar with the... When he said ranch-style homosexuality, they thought that it was some kind of a seasoning.
How could they think that?
I don't know. It could have been lost in the...
Are you trying to tell me...
Hold on, I'm just telling you what I investigated and found out, that apparently the guy that read your letter was going through some kind of a Japanese interpreter, and the ranch-style homosexuality, it reads in Japan, that's a dressing that you put on salad.
Well, you've got to be pulling my third leg. I can't believe that...
Hold on for a minute. Wait just a second here, man.
Well, no, that's insulting.
Well, you understand.
I'm just telling you what the man thought.
So you're reaching up and yanking the middle one.
Will you come on with that, please?
With what? Look at Mr. Henry. I can tell you something right now. I've been to the VA hospital for psychological issues. If I find out that some guy is over there in Japan... And they're taking my mail and they're sending it all around the Good Seasons and the Newman Zone and all this jazz nonsense. And they think that Paul Newman's reading this stuff.
Wait, you say ranch-style homosexuality?
What about it?
What do you mean ranch-style?
Well, they were two gay men on a ranch, so they've
he believes that it's sort of an agro-homosexuality. You know what I mean, Mr. Hendry?
Agro-homosexuality.
Right. In other words, it's agrarian. And
in other words, it's two cowboys that are gay.
Don't yell at me. This is the jackass that wrote the...
Excuse me, I'm the jackass.
All right, well, sir, can't you just say it's two gay cowboys? What do you mean ranch style?
Because my understanding was the two boys that are... Let me put it to you straight, okay? They're two guys that are putting it to each other late into the evening after a long shower on a ranch.
Well, then say they're gay cowboys. Don't say ranch style, because the Jap that... Excuse me saying Jap. But I'm also a veteran.
I understand.
The Jap that read it thought he passed it along to Newman's Own because he thought this was some kind of a new dressing.
Are you trying to tell me that because this guy said ranch-style homosexuality, Newman's Own got a hold of it?
Yes. Joanne Woodruff wants to start spreading it on lettuce. She doesn't know, and she did Philadelphia. So I'm simply...
Both of you guys can bug off.
Oh, I can bug off. I'm the attorney you got out of bed, okay? I've had one normal bowel movement in a week. You get me...
Thank you very much.
Mr. Henry, can I please just say hello to my daughter?
Yeah, Newman's Own new ranch-style homosexuality. Great on romaine leaf. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger will talk more about Brokeback Mountain in a few minutes on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, you know, I don't know if you're going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. I watch the Super Bowl. I watch every Super Bowl. I watch a lot of football. I know every Super Bowl that's ever been played. My kid, you know, I told you my kids gave me that whole 1 through 30 Super Bowl best of compilation, and the DVDs are so cool. They've got the highlights of the season that leads up to the Super Bowl. It's all the original film footage from those years. So in other words, I got to hear John Facenda. Now, when did he die? John Facenda, I guess, died in the early 70s. He's the guy with the voice, you know. And then later they got that guy with the big red nose, Harry Callis. I mean, excuse me, but Jesus, Harry. You know that guy for the, I think he's the Eagles announcer, Harry Callis. You ever heard him? The Philadelphia. He's got a voice like, I don't know. It's not a very classic voice. Not a very classic read. Like Facenda, you heard him. On a steel gray day. I mean, that guy was great. Then along comes Callis, and he's got a schnoz on him that people are waiting to turn green so they can get going, you know, home. Big red nose with the busted veins. He's pretty good, though. I mean, forgive me, but in any event, I'm watching it and really enjoying the hell out of it. And I'm watching the highlights of the Steeler years, and then moving on up through the 49er years. And then there's that period that I call the dark years. And it was those really just the Super Bowl hit an all-time low in the late 80s and early 90s with those dog crap games with the Giants. I mean, I don't have nothing against the Giants, but the Jeff Hostetler and Phil Sims Giants were about as exciting as watching the freaking grass grow with that blazing running game of Joe Morris and, oh, get out of here. But their defense was outstanding. You know, they had LT and all those guys. They had, you know, Harry Carson and all those guys. And then, you know, the Skins, they sucked. I like that one game with, I like the one game with Doug Williams where he tossed, what was it, four touchdowns in that one quarter, and Timmy Smith had, what did he have, like, he had 150 yards rushing in one quarter. I mean, Timmy Smith's got the all-time rushing record, I think. And in the early 90s, Facenda died in 84. Just got the word that Facenda died in 1984. But actually, Harry Callis was planning on having him killed a lot sooner, because Harry, I'm kidding, Harry took over the voicing of that in 75. Because as soon as I came to the 75 Super Bowl, I'm hearing, I'm Harry Callis. And I go, what happened to man? What happened to my man? And all that cool music. And the other thing I'm looking at are the Vikings playing at Metropolitan Stadium, man, before the Metrodome. I mean, the freaking snow and the mud. It was a beautiful thing. So anyway, so now along comes the early 90s, and we got the 49ers, and, you know, and the Bills losing those four. How is that possible? Two in a row to the Cowboys. How is that possible? Cowboys must have been damn good, man. And then the Bronco years. So it's been great the last few years. We've had some really good games. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, the Super Bowl has become a very good football game to watch. And it was a lousy football game for at least 20 years. Now, Joey Porter of the Pittsburgh Steelers has said that they're going to try to make as many Seattle Seahawks tap out as possible. Basically, what he's saying is we're going to try and injure as many Seattle Seahawks as we can. Joey's a linebacker with the Steelers. He's had a feud going with some clown on the Seahawks who ran his big mouth. And so Porter said, okay, guess what? It's on. And all kinds of different little things have been said. And you know when a guy says, well, we're going to try to injure as many Seahawks as we can, he's really playing to the press, he's playing to the public, because no professional football player is intimidated by that kind of thing. Now, you got to understand, just hear me again. No professional football player is intimidated by a guy running his mouth like that. These are the best football players in the world. Now, maybe the NFL Europe and maybe college ball and maybe a lot of other leagues. No championship caliber football team gets intimidated by some guy saying, I'm coming for you. Doesn't happen. You got wide receivers that play in the National Football League that live to go over the middle. They live to go right across the middle where guys like Porter are. They live for that stuff. They want to go over the middle. And you got tight ends, guys that are just as big as any of the dudes that are hitting them. And you got professional football players, and most of the thing, you know, like any great professional, it's in how you execute the job, how you're doing your job. And Joey Porter can talk all he wants about how he's going to hurt people. Frankly, you know, he better watch his ass, because if they get somebody headhunting him, it's going to be all over. And I got news for you. It's probably all. I bet you they got the pit already dug and the contract's down, man. They got the hole in the desert dug and the contract's down on Joey freaking Porter. Just shut up, Joey. Do yourself a big fat favor and all of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I want the Steelers to win the game. I want them to win the game. Oh, please, dear God, let them win. If the Seahawks win, I'm giving up on the NFL. It's the CFL for me from here on out. Let's go, Hamilton. Now, I want those Steelers to win that ball game. Seattle's in the first Super Bowl of their lives. Now, I like the way that, you know, he's talking. Look, I tell you what, if you can actually do it, do it. But this stuff doesn't intimidate anybody. The fans get talking about it. They think it's real jazzy. They dig it. It don't do squat to some guy that plays the game for real. It's some guy that's out there game in and game out, week in and week out. Some guy says, I'm coming after you. Yeah, okay, that's great. You're coming after me for what? All right, we're going to take a break. Doug Danger is coming up. Don't forget, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, and the web address where you can pick up the best of the Phil Henry Show CD, www.philhenryshow.com. And for the TV show Teachers on NBC, 9:30 April 6th and every Thursday night, you can actually come and see a taping if you'd like. Just go to our website, click on the Teachers banner, it'll tell you how to do it. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, there you go. Seattle in an upset. Joe Dickhead calls it along with the professor. We'll see what happens. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.